Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 400 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. That's a good number, isn't it, Zoraida?
It is.
400! I had to just mention that milestone. So today I'm here with Zoraida. Zoraida lives in Southern California, where she is a director of accounting. Welcome, Zoraida.
Hi.
Well, it's super great to have you here on episode 400, which is a lot of episodes.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I feel like I know you because you've been a part of our community. How long have you been a part of our Delay Don't Deny world?
Well, through the DDD community, like since the beginning, but I started in 2019, I think. I'm sorry.
Were you with us on Facebook?
2020. Yeah, I was.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you started with us on Facebook and then came on over. Your name, it's a beautiful name, but it's one it's stuck in my head and I've remembered seeing you around for a long time. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Well, as with most people, there's a long story. But you know what? I actually never had issues with my health or with my weight when I was growing up. No problem. It really wasn't until I started having children. Well, I got married and complacency kind of sets in and had kids and, you know, gained a little bit here. Couldn't really lose it all. Gained a little bit more. I have four children. So I just kind of, you know, hey, I'm a mom. I'm just going to kind of deal with it. Try to do a bunch of little diets, you know, like keto. Mm-hmm. And I did this other thing where they gave you like some vitamin shot and you went in there every day. And it was basically a low carb thing.
I had that same one too, going into that give you that shot that's like lipotrophic vitamin or something that was supposed to like magically melt fat.
I don't know what it was. We just... It was like, let's see. That one actually did work for a little bit. I did lose a lot of weight. But the problem is that it just, I really wasn't happy. You know, it's right. Like I wasn't allowed to eat certain foods. And, you know, it's just that restriction that I right. just could not deal with. Fast forward some more, and I'm now struggling with my weight as an adult and just going back and forth, up and down, and trying different things, crazy things. My mom, which, by the way, where we're recording is her birthday, or would have been her birthday. She got sick with pancreatic cancer in 2018.
Oh, gosh.
And she passed away like within about 7 weeks of diagnosis.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. That must have been such a shock.
It was. We, you know, she didn't take care of herself.
Right.
And so one of the things that she said to me, like, you know, we spent many a time in the hospital, and I was in the middle of another diet when she was sick. And of course, that went away when all the stressors of dealing with her being in the hospital. And basically, I stayed between my husband and I. She was never alone in the hospital, and we slept at the hospital next to her and everything. But in any case, she said, you got to promise me that you take care of yourself. She goes, I did not pay attention to my body. I did not take care of myself. I need you to make sure you take care of yourself for your kids so this doesn't happen to you. So I really did take that to heart past, you know, she had passed. And, you know, sometime later, I was like, okay, I need to do something, you know, tried something else again, tried going, doing the other thing that I was doing. It was some like metabolic factor thing. And it, you know, was basically another low carb thing.
Right.
And it had like these recipes, and they were just like absolutely insane. And, you know, they used a lot of, you know, you would have a carb day, but most of the time was low carb, and it helped, but it wasn't really sustainable. And I just, at one point I'm like, you know what? I don't know what to do. This is just going to be me. Fast forward a little bit more, and there was a newscaster in our local station that she had lost a lot of weight. And now it's the pandemic. It's 2020. I'm working from home, and I see her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks so amazing. Like, I hadn't seen her because she was always kind of that morning time when I'm right. at work. And she ended up doing a live Instagram thing where she talked about her journey. And she said, yes, I'm doing intermittent fasting. She talked about Jason Fung, and it was a live chat thing. So people were, and I'm like listening and watching what people are saying. And someone threw out there, have you read Jen Stevens' book? And she's like, no, that's on my list. I hear it's fantastic. And I'm like, okay, let me go and look that up. So I looked that up, and that was Delay, Don't Deny. And I started listening to it because I got it on Audible, and I'm listening to it. And, you know, first of all, your Audibles are fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I felt like you were talking to me. Like, how
it is so
right
hard
now.
To read an audiobook. You feel so weird.
You're like, I felt like I was just going, yeah, oh yeah. And I'm like, I'm laughing. My husband thinks I'm crazy because he's working from home too. I'm like on my headphones, and I remember listening to maybe like the first three chapters, and I turned to my husband and I said, oh my gosh, I think I found it. I think Yay. I found a lifestyle that is actually going to be sustainable, that it just seems so natural, because sometimes I didn't eat breakfast, and I felt like all of my other diets were telling me, you have to eat breakfast, you have to eat another meal, you have to eat in between. I mean, I'm just like, this made so much sense. Just even the news personality, she said, you know, talk to your doctor. I like immediately made a video conference with my doctor, and she's like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And so April 19th, I started.
So that
I started
was April that 19th day. Of 2020.
Yep. I just started awesome. That moment. Like literally I heard her thing on the 17th. I spoke to my doctor, and I got your book at the same time, and that was it. I started that day.
I love it. And that's the thing. There's no special prep needed. You don't have to throw everything away out of your pantry or buy yes. all new things. Just like invest in a book that'll help you understand a little bit better, because there's a little more to it than just don't eat, right? The clean fast and understanding what's going to be happening in your body. But you can literally just start the next day. You don't have to psych yourself up. You don't have to
I know. And I had already, I think it was in the morning, so I had already like not had breakfast. I may have had coffee with some cream, but I'm just like, okay, I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm just not going to have it. And so I didn't have coffee. I was having tea for a little while because God forbid I not have my creamer in my coffee.
Yeah. That's a hurdle for a lot of people.
Yeah, that took a little bit because I found that green tea made me hungry, which is odd, but it did.
Green tea makes me really queasy. Green tea is fine for a clean fast if you can tolerate it. Something about the tannins. I don't know. Oh, I've never been a tea drinker.
I love green tea. I love it.
Makes me so queasy. So we'll ask people, when people are new to fasting and they're in their community and they're like, I'm nauseous the whole time I'm fasting. I'm like, are you drinking green tea? Check and see. Because even though it is okay, if you can tolerate it, if you can't, it will make you so queasy.
Yeah. I just went and slowly, like I would have black coffee, add a bunch of water to it.
Yeah.
And then I just kept kind of dwindling down. And now I drink black coffee without any problems and it's totally fine. I do enjoy a creamer when my window is open, but otherwise I'm totally fine now, but that was a process.
It is definitely a process. And what you suggested just there about adding water is a really good tip. Someone I remember way back in the Facebook days said, add the amount of water that you would have added creamer.
Yes, that's like, what okay. I did.
Yeah.
Psyched myself out.
Yeah. Weak coffee, you figure it out, and then you get used to it. Before you know, you're having Cuban roast like me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I do have a nice French roast usually, or an Italian roast. I don't think I could do the Cuban.
It's amazingly, I really love it. Like when I'm not at home and I'm having some other coffee, it's never as good as mine. I like it robust. Who would have thought that a dark roast would be what I would gravitate to? But all right, so you did it. You started, you weaned your way to that coffee. How did it feel when you first began? Do you even remember?
I really don't remember. All I do remember was the energy.
Yeah.
I used to have these afternoon slumps at the office where literally sometimes I felt like I was going to fall asleep at my desk.
Yeah.
But that was one of the things that I really noticed was just the energy boost was insane. And the funny thing is that I started it during the pandemic. I'm at home. It wasn't until sometime like in October that I started going back into the office off and on. And some people that were in the office were like, you look amazing. And mind you, that's only been like 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, they see it like they couldn't tell where, I mean, I don't know, maybe they just didn't want to say anything. But they're like, you look so good. Your skin looks so great. You're like glowing. And then I have like this peppy attitude anyway. And I get comments all the time like, how is it that you could just be so calm and just like so happy? Yeah.
It's that IF glow and we're just calm and we handle what life throws at us. We just, it really is different. When we were on that blood sugar roller coaster, you mentioned that you had better energy. And I want to talk about that for a second because some people get confused by that. They think that they're supposed to have like so much energy that they feel, I don't know, like they're ramped up on something. And you might feel like that. But really, when you said that it was in comparison to how you felt before, that's what you really have to keep in mind. You used to have the afternoon slump. You used to feel like you needed a nap. And suddenly you had steady energy and you didn't feel that way. So that's the contrast. So anybody who's like, why don't I feel all that energy? If you're just not having the afternoon slump you used to have, you do have that energy. You'll figure it out if you ever accidentally, you know, have a day or not even accidentally, but if you ever have a day where you eat early in comparison, you'll be like, oh,
it's like, I'm missing. Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah. You'll have that draggy afternoon again and you'll be like, now I feel the energy difference. But I love that the people in your office could see it just after 6 months.
Yeah, it was quite a difference. I mean, I did lose a lot in that time. In the year, I lost like about 40 pounds. I was say it out loud. It's almost so scary, but
you
I
can
will say
it.
I can do it. I was 210.
Okay. That was my highest weight that I saw as well. Mm-hmm. So we're 210 buddies.
I couldn't believe it that I
How
was
tall
in
are
that.
You?
I'm 5'4".
Okay.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe I was in that 200 range. I just never in my wildest dreams, if as a teenager, if you would have told me you're going to be over 200 pounds, I would have just been like, no, sorry, that's not happening.
There's just something about that different digit. I know, yeah. Exactly. I was like, as long, you know, if I got on it, it said 190 something, that felt better than that too.
Yes. I remember when I hit, you know, when I got below that and I was like, okay, good.
Wonderland.
I'm like, relief. Right. Then, yeah, then I actually avoided getting sick for the longest time. And it was, and I, you probably may or may not recall, it was in 2021 when I got COVID. And that kind of threw my body on its ears. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lost my taste of smell and...
Oh, I remember that. You lost it for a long time, didn't you?
I still don't have it complete.
Oh my gosh.
But in the beginning, I was having like a huge problem with trying to, I think I called it chasing flavors because right? I was just trying to find something, which then, you know, led to, you know, more processed food and it led to me eating more sweets and everything else. And that took a while to stop. You know, I had to kind of really stop myself and slowly but surely I started getting it back. It was getting easier as well, but that was kind of a scary time because, yeah. I mean, I gained like 10 pounds back. And every time I kind of get dejected with myself for that point, I just try to remember where I started from.
Right.
And I'm like,
really important.
Yeah, it's the only way that I'm able to kind of keep that balance of not going down that diet rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And just remember, you know what? I was this way before, I am this way now. That's an accomplishment. And even though I'm not like at my quote unquote goal, there's still more to do because I still want to get healthier, but I am doing it at my time. My insulin level, I just had it done, is 4.9 right now.
Awesome. That is right there in the optimal range.
Yeah. And I really can't ask for too much more other than just making sure that I am trying to put good food in my body. I do enjoy sweets. That is my kryptonite. I love sweets. And if it's in the house, I will find it.
I'm going to back up a little bit. We have a few rabbit holes I'd like to go down.
Okay.
I don't want to neglect to talk about the effect of COVID. And in your situation, it had to do with the loss of taste and smell and searching for those sensations. I can totally imagine. You're like, I just want to have the pleasure of tasting the food. Did you also feel like COVID caused your body to have like an inflammatory weight gain afterwards?
Yes, I think, well, let me put it this way. I'm kind of like saying it did because...
Yeah.
I think it had to have though.
Right.
I really do. You know, those little aches and pains came back when I was sick. And just for the months that followed afterwards, as I was trying to get myself back in balance, I would feel those aches and pains again. Like my lower back was hurting because that was one of the main things that... All these little things that I never realized were ailing me, were going away, had come back. And that's how I knew, you know? And I kind of like blame COVID a lot for
it. I think that's legit because we have seen, you know, I remember, you know, I've been leading intermittent fasting communities since 2015. Mm-hmm. And people would start fasting, lose weight, as long as they kept going. They might have some menopausal weight gain that they would have to deal with. That's a factor. We understand that's biological.
Oh, yeah.
But suddenly, COVID changed maintenance for a lot of people. People who had been maintaining for a long time got COVID and then just gained a lot of weight and felt like their body was really inflamed. So we know we're still learning about COVID and how it affects different bodies differently, depending on where it, I don't know, maybe it is affecting your gut or what part of your body it really targets. But anybody who's listening, if you had unexplained weight gain and it happened after you had COVID, there's something going on biologically in your body. And don't feel like it's you. Like, don't feel like you are just failing or something's wrong with you and your willpower. Your body is different.
Yeah, definitely.
We're still learning. Like I said, I think there's a gut connection for a lot of people. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients.
Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
Yeah, that is true, because one of the things that I realized before, I've had it a couple of times now, but every time I've always had an upset stomach beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of other people that one of the signs that they get is an upset stomach before they full blown become like either some sort of cough and nose and all of that other fun stuff that go along with it. But yeah, I just, you know, so that's why just now I'm just trying to give myself that grace going, okay, it's all right. And I'm doing what I need to do, and my numbers are looking pretty good, and it'll come. It'll come.
Healing takes time, but I've seen some really great, even at the very early part of the pandemic, there was a scientific journal article where someone theorized that intermittent fasting could help prevent COVID. Mm-hmm. But they're also, we're seeing people coming out now talking about how intermittent fasting is a therapeutic approach for people with long COVID, because the autophagy and the clearing out those spike proteins, you know, theoretically it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, I did notice that at least it, you know, instead of being sick for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, I was sick, maybe badly sick, like for 3 days, and then it just lingered after that. Obviously, I listened to my body. If I needed to have soup at 10 in the morning, then that was fine. You know, I mean, I wasn't going to go and be neurotic about it.
Yeah, that's definitely a time to listen to your body. Sometimes people ask, what do I do when I'm sick? Listen to your body. Mm-hmm. If fasting feels good, fast. If your body's like, no, I need soup. You don't normally eat at 10 a.m., but it's 10 a.m., have the soup.
Have my soup. And and then I was right back to it again. And it was never a point of where I didn't fast, because you're fasting overnight anyway, right? So there's your win.
Yeah. You didn't have to start over.
You just,
as you felt better, you were able to fast more like you were used to.
So
anyway, I'm glad that you're sharing that part of your story, because I think it's important. At one point, I even Googled it and I found a thread. I think it was a doctor message board, but everybody could read it, where they were sharing about weight gain with COVID. And I even found a PubMed article about it, someone who gained like 100 pounds post-COVID.
Oh, geez.
I know. So this is a phenomenon that people are kind of whispering about. I don't know that it's something people are talking about openly necessarily, but it's definitely, you can find it if you look for it. So, but I'm glad your insulin is optimal.
Yes. I was very happy in spite of having some, you know, the holidays and everything. I mean, I literally did it last week.
Okay.
Like on the 10th or something like that. And had gone through the holidays and enjoyed myself, of course. And I was like, okay, it's all right. I'm just going to, let's see what happens.
Well, that's really great. So in case anyone's wondering, generally people in the health and wellness space think of 2.5 to 5 as the optimal level. This is in United States units. If you're in another country, the units might be reported in a different scale. But 2.5 to 5 is considered to be optimal. But the confusion is that the range of normal might be all the way up to like 24 or something. So you could get it done and it says normal. And we know that it might be normal to have an insulin of, you know, 20 these days, but it's not going to be optimal. So,
yeah, I think I was pre-diabetic a few years back and my insulin was like at 10 at the time. But yeah, so I, you know, to see it start to, you know, go down, it just makes me happy. So
that's a great confirmation that what you're doing is.
Yeah, helping. I know I'm on the right track. And I feel like because I've been listening to a lot of Jason Fung and about how the pancreas works and such. And I, you know, that my mom was diabetic type two. So I just feel like all, you know, her poor pancreas, her poor organs were just working so hard to try to moderate her insulin levels that, you know, it just, I don't know. I feel like there's a correlation there.
Yeah, I think so too, because things do wear out with overuse. We see that, you know, in machinery around us. If you drive car real hard, it's going to wear out. You know, the same with our bodies. We need to take care of ourselves. You know, take care of our pancreas.
Yeah, take care of everything.
And the fasting really helps. Now, there's something else I wanted to circle back to, yes. And that was sweets. And the reason I want to talk about this is because this is really a struggle for a lot of people. You know, that's not my personal flavor of what I struggle with. Cheesy, crunchy things. That's me. Snacky, salty chips, things like that. But sweets are just a real stumbling block for a lot of people. So talk about that a little bit with us.
Like I said, if it's in the house, I will find it. I will have it. I have very little willpower when it comes to it. So I really do try not to have it in the house. And, you know, the family may want something and then that's fine. And if I'm in another room and I don't see it, then I can kind of live for a little bit. But then I do like to indulge and I will have it because it's okay. I have it right in my window. I try not to overdo it, but it happens. It's just one of those kryptonites that I have to deal with. And it's a struggle. It's something that I work on and just try to be nice to myself because I don't want to feel that restriction, you know?
I get it. Yeah. And that's the balance, right? If I had a whole bag of cheese puffs here in the pantry, I would eat too many of them until they were all gone. But that doesn't mean I'm never going to eat them again. Sometimes I buy them knowing, well, I'm going to eat too many of these till they're gone. That's a choice I'm making. I'm not going to say I'm never having that again. I'm done with that. After my little recent diet brain experience where I was like, I'm going to cut this all out. It was in response to my dad's health, right? And like, I'm going to do better and I'm going to be optimal. And I'm like, no, wait, I don't have to be optimal, optimal. I'm already fasting.
I'm already doing so much.
Well, yeah.
But I'm doing good things.
Keeping it out of the house is really the best way to, like, if I don't have cheesy, crunchy things in the pantry, I don't eat them.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, that's the simple solution. And, you know, if I'm just sitting here, I'm not going to go out just to get them and bring them back in the house. It's when I'm in the grocery store that you make the decision in the store.
And it's funny because I won't even like do that. I don't even have that worry when I'm at the store. But if someone brings it home or it's, you know, like crumble cookies or something, it's just, that's it. I will cut them up and maybe say, okay, I'm just going to have four little wedges. You know, we try a couple, you know, because they're so delicious. And it's like,
I had those for the first time last week. It was the first time I'd ever tried them.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
oh
my sister and her husband are here for the whole month. They rented a house in Surfside. And so they had some. I was over there and I had like one little tiny piece from three different ones. That was enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but you're not a sweets person.
I'm not. Now, ice cream. Okay. When I say I'm not a sweets person, ice cream is the thing. Like my favorite flavor of ice cream, Jenny's is the brand. The ice cream is a buttermilk flavor. Oh. And then it's got little pieces of biscuits and peaches.
Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing.
Okay. So that I don't have an off switch for. Maybe.
Yeah, that's why ice cream's not here.
But ice cream, it's the dairy, right? But,
yeah.
You know, cake and cookies, no.
Homemade
I like the
cookies.
Crumble cookie, but I would have no problem saying no to that, or it doesn't call my name at all. So I'm thankful for that. But I want people
Yeah, you should be. You're blessed with that.
But cheese and dairy, my brain like latches onto those. So we all have something, but the key is recognizing it. If there's something you can't moderate, you need to have some strategies for that.
The best thing is for it to not be here.
If I ate a pint of Jenny's ice cream every night, I would gain weight, right? I would gain a lot of weight.
No matter how much we fast.
It's true. So you have to be realistic about those struggles. And I want everybody to know we all have them. It's just a matter of recognizing what your struggles are. But no one is overeating fresh vegetables. It's the things, those ultra-processed foods, the things that hit all those pleasure points in the brain.
Exactly. Which is a lot of what I'm trying to get out of the house, not have it in me, because I know that that is always calling my name. Like,
right.
I do
right.
enjoy chips, but I don't have them all the time. But that feeling of, okay, I can't eat just one. You keep eating more. I'm like, no, stop.
You don't have that with chips.
No, I do also. But okay. I know that is because of, you know, the preservatives and the
ultra
whatever that they're
nature.
Doing to the food. It's definitely something that I just can't. I'd remind myself that that is not a good thing and make it go away. Don't
I just
have
really
it.
Want everybody to understand, you know, we give ourselves a lot of blame for not being able to stop. And it's really the food industry that has, they literally sit around and think, how can we make these so people can't stop eating them? And they test them in focus groups. Let's say they're trying to test, you know, three different new flavors. They feed them to people, and whichever one they eat the most of, that's the one they market. I mean, their job is to get you to buy more and more of their snacks.
Yeah, it's very so, sad. It's
when you
very
understand
sad
it,
state
you
of
can,
affairs.
Yeah, it is. But you can take a deep breath and say, it is not my fault that I love these foods. They're designed for me to love them. So focus on the real food first.
Yes. That's what I always try to do is just I have my little salad and, you know, I put stuff in it. And there's a salad that they make here that has, it'll have like besides lettuce and stuff, but it actually puts broccoli, cauliflower. It's all mixed in. Mm-hmm. And then with just some balsamic vinegar, it's fantastic. I add some Parmesan cheese to it and
oh,
I'm
yum.
A happy girl.
That sounds so good. I like a chopped salad that's all mixed together so you get everything.
Yes.
That's my
it's
favorite
got
kind
it all,
of salad.
You know, a little bit of green onion and cilantro. I mean, it has everything in there. It's like all sorts of green things in there.
Is that from a restaurant in your area?
No, it's one of those salad bags. I just don't use the dressing that comes with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to make a dressing. I had a meal last night from a meal kit and it came with a salad and the dressing. You made it yourself and it was like, you mix together sour cream, chopped up banana peppers, and what else was in there? A little bit of really like diced onion. And I'm trying to remember, it was a very, Parmesan cheese. And a little bit of water to thin it out a little bit with just some romaine lettuce. It was delicious.
That sounds
so
amazing.
Simple. Sour cream, chopped up banana pepper, a little bit of onion, a little bit of water, Parmesan cheese. Yeah. And when you start making a simple dressing like that, mm-hmm. then you taste the ones that come with those bagged salads and they taste like poison.
Yeah, no. Rather just make my own.
It's so easy.
I know it really is easy. It's just a matter of just, you know, taking the time to do it. But like I said, just balsamic and olive oil and I'm just good.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine. I have one at my office, olive oil, balsamic vinegar.
That sounds like something I would do. I actually had dishes at work when I was a teacher. I like drinking out of a ceramic mug. So I have my mm-hmm. ceramic mug and
Me
I like
too.
Eating off a real plate. So I had a real plate and real silverware. And, you know, I would always have my little supplies. So I would have been the one with the balsamic and the vinegar and the olive oil. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because I do end up eating. My window is kind of weird because, well, it's not weird, but I really do have it at lunch. I
okay.
have it. Like 12:30, 1 o'clock or whatever. And it's, I just don't eat dinner. It's taken some time to get to that feeling what was the right way for me, but that just seems to feel good. You know, my kids are grown up, so I don't have small children that I have to like eat dinner with or whatever. We all are on different, you know, the boys are on different schedules and it's a bummer for my husband because he eats later in the day. He usually has dinner. He started fasting also.
So oh, I love that.
Fun. So our times are a little bit off, but it's all good. We make it work. It just, it works for me. I feel better mm-hmm. and I'm good for the day. It's like I have it in the middle of the day and I'm done. It just seems to work. And if for some reason I feel like I need to eat some more, I do.
Right.
I have dinner and we move on. It's
yeah.
all good.
Well, and I think that we don't want to just get in a rut of only a tiny little lunch window every day for the rest
no.
of our lives, right?
No,
you
I
know,
bring-
some days you're going to be hungrier.
Yeah, it's funny because I bring whatever we make for dinner, I bring it for lunch.
Okay.
I warm it up like chicken. I warm it up. I have it with my salad. I have whatever else with it and I'm good. That seems to be working for me for now, but it changes. It changes all the time.
And you're flexible with life.
Yes.
Like if y'all had dinner plans, you would go out and have dinner and just have a longer window that day.
Yeah. Then that'll be just a longer window. Have something small, maybe if I needed to, you know, at 3 or whatever. Instead, I'll just make a little mini salad. Because I always have salad stuff at my office. And I just would I'd make adjustments. And that's what's the beauty of it, is that I don't have to think. Yeah. I don't have to find weird items in the market to try to make some crazy recipe. I can't believe the stuff that that one diet was making me make.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. When I was trying to do whole food plant-based, and I understand, you know, I really understand being a vegan for ethical reasons. Like, I totally understand why somebody would do that. And then you're like highly motivated to make all these things. But for me, it was health reasons. And I was like, well, no, I don't want to make cashew cheese. I don't want to make.
It's a lot of work.
No, I don't want to.
Because I've done that. We've done the vegan thing.
And my body loved it. So look, I get it. That is the way. If I wanted to be completely optimal, whole food plant-based is what my body feels the best on.
Yeah.
But I just can't do it. And I don't want to make
substitute
things.
We would have had to make another meal because two of my kids are allergic to nut products.
Oh.
So like at one point my husband and I are making something for ourselves. We're like, what doesn't have nuts that can be a protein? And it was like, we were new at it. It was a disaster. And we're like, okay, this is just not gonna work.
No.
But Captain Crunch is vegan.
Well, so. Girl Scout Thin Mints are vegan.
Yes, so. Yep, they are.
I really prefer the terminology whole food plant-based to describe me in the way that, I mean, I'm not whole food plant-based. I'm not. But I felt great eating that way, but it's just a lot of hassle. And I love dairy. I love dairy. And I love a good burger. So it's just not for me. Around here, you cannot eat out.
Yeah.
It's really hard even to be vegetarian here, even if you're having eggs and dairy, which of course I am because I'm not eliminating anything. And hopefully I'll never get diet brain and try to do that again. But
don't do that again.
You just can't. You really just can't go anywhere and eat. So.
Yeah. No. My daughter is vegan, so that's is always she? Fun. But she's very flexible because
it's hers the for way ethical that she purposes. Works.
You know what? It was first was more for her body. She just feels better that way. Mm-hmm, but. Mm-hmm. Because of what she does, sometimes that is just not an option. So she's very flexible. She'll have fish and she'll have chicken or whatever, but she just avoids eating too much red meat and that type of thing. But she feels really good with it. I mean, she loves it and, you know, she's very healthy, but at the same time, you know, she's flexible too. So, which is, I was glad to see that she wasn't feeling so restricted all the time.
That's good. We can really listen to our bodies and how we feel. And I think it's really interesting that both of my sons have gravitated to less meat, not because I told them to.
Yeah.
You know, really, they just, like my son Cal married a vegetarian and they're vegetarian at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll eat meat when he's out. And then Will, my other one, I was getting meal kits for him. What were we doing? I think I was getting him Home Chef meals for a while, having them sent right to him because he could then, they were easy. For and a lot of them were like, you just throw them in a little thing and put them in the oven. So they were very, very easy for like a 20-something-year-old boy. But he told me he would throw over half the meat away. He's like, that's just way too much meat. I throw most of it away.
Oh, goodness.
But, you know, it's not just me. It's just really interesting. You know, that's that whole, is it a genetic component of something about us? We just don't want to eat as much meat. But it's just funny to watch both of my boys, not because I've influenced them or told them that. They just naturally have gone that direction.
That's good. So. Yeah. It's funny because I did send my, on her last contract, I did send her also with Fast Feast Repeat, mainly for her, just so she knew what I was doing. And, you know, and she was supportive. Definitely, especially because she saw the results that I was, you know, getting so much healthier. And I caught her reading it a few times. She does stuff on Instagram and all of that, and her book is right there and all that. She's been fasting, I think, a little bit. Like, she'll, like, really, she's very intuitive and will listen. She's like, you know, I don't need to have breakfast today.
I love that.
Or this morning. She's 26.
Love it. Yeah, my 24-year-old Will, he wouldn't call himself a faster, but he'd eat sporadically.
Yeah.
He's definitely metabolically flexible. He never lost that. He just eats here and there. So he's not intentionally like, I am fasting now.
Yeah, but no,
sometimes
I'll
pick him up to do something and I'm like, have you eaten today? He's like, no.
It's like, no, I haven't yet.
I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. I have another son that does kind of the same thing. And then my oldest son, actually, he is a faster. He like intentionally is doing that. And he's been feeling really good. And because he wanted to lose a little bit, I think. And it's all good for health. And pretty much now that's kind of how I let them know. I'm like, I'm fasting more now for my health. First it was for weight loss, but now it's really just to keep me healthy because there's so many benefits. You know, everyone's supportive. And like I said, my husband's doing it too. And he started, I think, maybe a couple months after I did, because he's like, okay, whatever you're doing, I know you're really excited. Tell me, what do I need to do?
That's great.
What do I need to do? And I'm like playing the audible for him. And he's like, no, just give me the bottom line. What do
just
I
tell
do?
Me? Literally tell me what to do.
Yes. Yeah. So he does, but yeah, so we're all like trying to do stuff to keep ourselves healthy, which is great because we're all in line and that makes it so much easier.
It really does. You know, sometimes in the community, we'll have someone who's frustrated, like maybe their husband. Someone yesterday, in fact, shared that her husband was having some health struggles, but didn't want to hear about fasting. You know, the doctor's like, here's a pill. And it can be really frustrating when you love somebody so much and you know it could help them. But you have to understand everybody is on their own journey.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't want it for somebody.
Of what they're doing.
Yeah, you can't want it more for somebody than they want it for themselves. And everybody's got to figure it out. But I love that your husband and your kids are open and hearing it and recognize that it's a healthy way to live because that makes such a difference.
Yeah, it definitely does. One of my boys just kind of makes not fun of me, but he'll...
How old is he?
Oh, he's 23.
His brain's still not fully developed.
I'll have like either intermittent fasting stories or I'll have on my podcast and it's always like running the next episodes and stuff. And so when we get in the car, it automatically starts.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of makes like, oh, and this is why I didn't have food today. And he'd be like saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, no, that is not the case. So I have to find him some good articles to help him really, really get it. Because I think he sometimes worries. He goes, it's just calorie deprivation. I'm like, no, it's not. And I'm like, it's not. I'm telling you, it's not. It's like I send him like videos from Jason Fung from YouTube.
Jason Fung was just on Diary of a CEO. Have you ever watched that podcast?
No, I haven't.
I've discovered it on YouTube because YouTube shows you things that it thinks you'll like. But Jason Fung was just on Diary of a CEO. We're recording this in January. So he was on mid-January. And he really explained the reason I love the podcast so much is the host, Stephen Barrett, I think is his name. He is a very curious man. And I love that, the way he's so curious about topics. He has all sorts of different type of experts on, different fields, not all health, but he's curious about something. So he asks like the best questions of his guests.
Oh, great.
And the topics could be anything. It could be like marriage, relationships, health, psychology, I mean, work. I mean, so many things. Anyway, but he had Jason Fung on and he did a great job explaining why it's not just calories in, calories out. And then I also have been watching the Zoe. Obviously, you know, I like the Zoe podcast.
Yeah.
This week, they've done a series of shorts with Christopher Gardner, who is a research scientist from Stanford. So I have, you know, like other people like movie stars and whatever. I have a list of my favorite research scientists and Christopher Gardner.
Gosh, you're so cute.
Christopher Gardner, Mark Mattson.
Oh my gosh.
Tim Spector.
Yeah. That's all. I do have like all of their different books in there.
They're
bouncing between, like I'm hearing you guys talk about different people and I'm like, oh, okay, I need to listen to that one.
But they did these shorts with Jonathan and Christopher where they analyze different, you know, because Christopher Gardner is a nutritional researcher. What I love about him is he's like, you know, all these theoretical diets, ways of eating are all well and good, but what can people actually do in real life? So they'll like design a study where they teach people how to do, let's just say keto. They teach them how to do it. They maybe give them the food for a little while, and then they give them a period of time to see what they really do. And pretty much every single diet, like people can't really do it. Like they can't really apply it. He's like, a few people can, but most of the people in the study fail to implement it as they were instructed. And so that, I think that's really important, because if you can't do something.
Yeah, it's too much work. If it's too much work, you just can't, you won't
keep
it up. Even
if it works perfectly, if you can't do it, then, then that's the thing. But he was talking about calories in, calories out as one of the diet strategies he was unpacking. And but both Jason Fung and Christopher Gardner very clearly say, over time, this is just not sustainable.
Yes. And I found that out many a time. It's like, oh, forget this. I'm going back to just doing whatever I was doing, and I'll just live with whatever. But that's the beauty about fasting. It is sustainable. It's so easy. It's so, so easy.
Yeah. And the body is not a closed system that just reacts based on mathematical formulas. So if you like lower calories in, your body can reduce calories out. So your body's like, ha ha, you're not going to fool me. I'm going to slow down your metabolism.
Yeah. Figured out what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. So fasting helps us work with that in a different way. So I'm glad that you're having those conversations with your son, because it's important for him to start thinking outside the box, right?
Yes. I'm hoping that they will have, at least, if anything, just in the back of their mind, have these tools that they'll know, like, hey, you know what? She talked about that once. Let me find out about it a little more, and maybe they'll do their own research and then, you know, decide if what's good for them. But, you know, more than anything, I just want them all to be healthy. And
exactly, that's it.
Even though it's kind of later in their lives, but we're doing it, and that's all that counts. And they eat well, they're all eating well, and it's now a new habit of not having the processed stuff and just putting good food in our body and, you know, as good as we can get it, right?
Yeah, it really is wonderful watching our young adults make responsible choices.
Yes,
right?
Yes. It makes me very happy. It makes me very happy. And it's not a chore, you know, and I don't have to tell them anything. I mean, they're adults. They could do whatever they want. If they want to go and have McDonald's every night, I may not be happy with it, but it's their choice.
They can choose
that. That's the choice that they're not making. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. When I would take Will to the grocery store, he's an artist now. He's a struggling artist. So he's painting. Oh my gosh, he's doing beautiful work. He's got a website, willstevensart.com. You can go look at it. But I cannot believe how great he's doing. So starving artist is really true. Because he's just starting off. But I'm like, all right, look, I'm your mama. It's my job to feed you. I don't care if you're 24. We're going to go to the store.
Make
I'm
sure
going to buy
get
you
food.
Stuff. We're going to, yeah. But he like wants to get fruit and he wants to get salad. And so I'm like, all right, what else? What can we get?
But, I love it. Gotta love that.
It feels really good. But yeah, I also send him a food box every week too. So.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Well, we do what we can for our kids. And
yeah, definitely.
You want them to follow their dreams and find what they're really... It's hard when your child is creative.
Yeah, we have many creative children.
So you get it.
It's a thing, but we're there for them, and that's
what,
that's
our
job. And that's, it's important. It's important for them to be happy. So
do
what fills their heart with joy.
So you mentioned that your kids are healthy eaters. Has your tastes in food changed over time, or have you always been this kind of really healthy eater?
No, I was not a healthy eater whatsoever. I hated vegetables all my life. I all of a sudden had Brussels sprouts when I went to dinner with a girlfriend of mine, and it was like these roasted Brussels sprouts, and it was like the most amazing thing. I ate them like they were French fries.
Yeah.
And that I try making them at home, and I've like worked on it and everything else. It's amazing how I never thought like, no, but my tastes are not going to change. My tastes are not going to change. And they do. It took a while, but it did change.
I swear it's the black coffee. I really think the black coffee changes your taste buds so that you're more open to that bitter flavor profile that's in these foods that we wouldn't eat before.
Yeah, that normally I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't normally eat salad that had kale in it. I mean, it's
or
just
arugula.
Like
how delicious is arugula?
I love
before
arugula.
It was like, what?
Yeah, I know. I love that. It's like yeah. So I do feel like there has been some changes. Not everyone agrees with my change. They still don't like my roasted Brussels sprouts when I cook them, but that's okay. I enjoy them.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It was weird because I kept hearing that from everybody saying, oh, la, la, la. And I think I was like 2 years in and I still am like, no, I really still don't like anything. And it's funny because when, you know, I got COVID and I wasn't tasting anything, I did find spicy food all of a sudden just being such a fantastic thing. So I eat a lot of spicy food now, or I add a little bit of spice to my food. That was a little help from COVID and not tasting much, but it's all good. Because yeah. It seasons things so lovely.
But you're mostly back to normal with your taste and smell?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly. So I just...
I can't imagine. That's like the scariest. Well, there's lots of scary things. I don't want to say the scariest, but that was when I had COVID in 2021. I had a fever for about, I don't know, 7 to 10 days. I was recording my audiobook Cleanish the whole time. So I was able to get out of bed and work for a couple hours. Then I would get back in the bed. But I lost my taste and smell a few days in. It was crazy feeling. Mm-hmm. But then it came back before the fever was even over.
I was so fortunate.
But, you know, I was sniffing like Vicks VapoRub. And I'm like, this smells like nothing.
That's what happened. I'm like, I thought I was putting Breathe, which is an essential oil. And I was just putting it on my chest. And all of a sudden, I'm like, did I run out? And I'm like looking at the bottle. I'm like, oh my God, I can't smell it.
It's so weird.
It was so weird.
But anybody who hasn't experienced it, if you didn't have that side effect or if you never had COVID, it is crazy.
Yeah, it is the weirdest thing. And because then you really felt like, I felt like so isolated from everything. And, you know, I wasn't smelling everything. I couldn't taste anything. I'm like trying everything. Yeah. Let me try it all.
You realize how much you rely on those senses.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, so I always am smelling my stuff just like some eucalyptus. Okay, clear my, I can smell it. It's good.
Clove. So tell us some of your non-scale victories.
My biggest non-scale victories has been my markers, the insulin markers. It was really kind of scary in the beginning when they were telling me I was pre-diabetic. And right. When those insulin markers started going down and I was thrilled. At one point I was down to 3.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it was really amazing. Another thing
And
is,
I also want to say, I think that there probably is some variability. So like if you go one time and you get a 3 and another time you get a 4.9, that doesn't mean you've gotten worse. Because we know that blood glucose varies so much. And just, you know, mm-hmm. when you wear a CGM, you really understand that your blood sugar goes up and down and up and down within a range, like a lot over the course of the day.
Right.
I think insulin would do that too.
Yeah. And I mean, like I didn't panic that it was 4.9 or anything. I just, as long as I knew that especially since I knew, well, probably why, because I had been indulging over the holidays, I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah.
So, also as my body, my back, my lower back used to always be really, really sore all the time. And it was just constant. And I'm always like stretching my back and everything else. But the inflammation has reduced enough where I don't feel that all the time on my back. And it's fantastic. I'm able to move. I mean, I do yoga very sporadically, but I do this other class that I love doing every Saturday. And, you know, I try walking. I haven't done so much lately, but my mobility is just, it's so mm-hmm. much, I feel so much stronger. And of course, it's because I'm moving my body and I'm doing things to help my body. But because I lost the weight, I was able to start really doing more,
right,
and feeling good. And of course, the best one was emptying out my closet and getting rid of all of that old stuff. I mean, all the things that I swore I will not see again, and got rid of it all. It was fantastic. That was like so much fun. And finding some things in the back of the closet or in boxes that I was amazed that I kept. I thought I got rid of most of everything in the last move, but I like found a pair of jeans that I put them on. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm wearing these again.
And when did those jeans fit you?
They fit me originally probably back in 2004, 2005, somewhere around there. And I was able to wear them again, and that was amazing. It actually, I had to get rid of them recently because they got worn. They were old. I mean, but I was just so
well,
happy,
you know, 2004 sounds like nothing ago, but it was 20 years.
Yes.
20 years ago.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I was just wearing those. Wait, no, that was 20 years ago.
That was 20 years ago. I know. It was like so amazing. I'm like, Dan, look, I'm wearing them. And he's like,
so funny.
Are those the? I'm like, yes. I was like, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I've got old jeans from around that same era, Gap mm-hmm. jeans, size 6 Gap jeans that I saved. And yeah.
Yeah.
They also look like really hideous mom jeans, but that's probably back in style. I don't know.
I think it might be.
I should wear them and see what happens.
No one will know.
I did try them one time. It was funny. After I'd lost the weight and was trying them on, I put them on. I was walking around the house. This was probably in, I don't know, 2016 or something. Will was a teenager at that time. And he's like, what are you wearing? It was bad enough for even a teenage boy to notice.
Oh, goodness.
I took them off.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just feeling good. It's really that feeling confident is yeah. probably the better word to say. I feel more confident. And like I said, I am not in my quote unquote goal, mm-hmm. but I feel good and I can walk proudly and know that I'm on my way.
And you've found a lifestyle that feels good that you would never want to stop.
Yeah.
And you know that it's making you healthier.
Yes.
So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
You know, and it's like, I hear this question all the time and I'm like, oh, what would I tell someone? I think a lot of it is just to give yourself grace, mm-hmm. be good to yourself. And, you know, I was mad at myself when I was gaining the weight again after COVID, but I had to give myself grace. And, you know, and that didn't all happen overnight. It took a little time. And I'm just now back into that place where I'm like, okay, I'm all right.
Right.
I can give myself that grace. I'm going to move forward and just continue on doing what's good for me. And so I just want people just to know that this is a lifestyle that is just so easy. And you just have to always forgive yourself and just be graceful with yourself.
So. And remember that it is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen overnight.
It's definitely not going to happen overnight. But you can always figure out what you need for any season of your life.
Exactly.
And it's okay for it to change and expect that it will.
Yeah. And I do want to say thank you to you, because you talking to me through your Audible book, that just literally changed my life. And I think it changed the trajectory of my health, the fear of my kids losing me early, like I lost my mother early. I see that being wiped away, and it's fantastic. I know I'll be there for them, and well, I'm so grateful
to have the opportunity to put this message out into the world. I'm just a teacher. I'm teaching people about it. I didn't invent it. I just have a really big mouth.
Thank you
when
for
I like
teaching us.
Well, thank you so much for telling your story today, Zoraida.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions.
I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me, DJ Fu, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. Once Upon a Beat.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.